Hey, it's Sam Amick from The Athletic, and you can listen to me, Fred Katz, and Anthony Slater break down the inside story of what is happening in the NBA. Latest news, trades, signings, all of the above. Latest action on the floor. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Athletic NBA Show and listen to Tampering every Tuesday.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Well, just like that, look who's back in the mix. Straight out of New York City, it's them red hot Knicks. And nothing's gonna stop us from hanging a banner. Not the Hawks, Heat, or even Indiana. It's the Knicks, back on pace, back in the chase. That's right, the 8th seed in the thick of the race. And while
who's their best young talent? Nick Claxton? We got Kevin Knox, bitch.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
Ooh. This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Zach Harper. We've got James Edwards III, Trevon Edwards, no relation. Dave DeFore, Jay King, also no relation. And today, guys, we had this epiphany, Aminel Hassan and myself, on the radio the other day. We had this epiphany. I want to run it by you guys. But Julius Randle of the red hot New York Knicks, who have forgotten how to lose basketball games, Julius Randle is a lock for all NBA first team.
I'm from Zoo York.
He's a lock because if you
wait, did you say first team?
Yeah, first team.
If you think about it,
look,
yeah, he's right.
Almost all of your MVP candidates are either centers, Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, or guards, which is like Steph and Dame and Book and CP3 and Donovan Mitchell and I'm sure Luka, right? Luka, I think, is classified as a guard.
Luka's a guard.
And then Giannis. Like, Giannis is your one forward. Now, you could throw Kawhi in there. You could throw Paul George in there. Obviously, LeBron and AD would normally be in there. Kevin Durant would normally be in there. But all those guys have missed so much time. Julius Randle has missed like a game or two. And I'm telling you, Julius Randle, as long as he doesn't get hurt the rest of the season, this dude's a lock for first team because you need to fill that other forward.
And you can put his numbers up there with anybody.
Oh, yeah. His numbers are great, too. And they're winning.
Right.
But also, we forgot to highlight that most of the guys that normally would be a lock for that has missed over like 25 to 30 games.
Right. Well, that's the thing, Trey. Think about this, because we could legitimately have this five as guys who don't make an All-NBA team this year, right?
Yeah.
You could have LeBron, AD, KD, James Harden, because he's been hurt, and Kyrie.
Yeah.
Which, like...
I'm still lobbying for Kyrie to be first.
First team?
Yeah.
He's missed way too much time.
Yeah.
Way too much time.
But everyone's missed too much time.
That's what I was going to say. This year,
except
is
Julius
like,
Randle.
Except Curry.
Except Julius Randle. Mr. Reliable. Yeah. He's like the new AC Green.
Yeah. Jokic has played every game, I think. And Julius Randle's missed like two. And everyone else is a mash unit most nights. But yeah, like you got a crazy amount of talent and historical talent that probably won't make it unless people are just like, well, how can you have an All-NBA team without LeBron, even though he's missed, you know, a huge chunk of the season. Same for AD, same for KD. Harden, maybe if he comes back soon, could be. But I'm telling you, Julius Randle, lock it in, first team.
My question is, and I know all of us like to talk ourselves out of names, but like, who can you even, like, who's even close second for Julius? I mean, LeBron's missed way too many. I wouldn't.
Paul George and
I think
Kawhi
Paul might be the only one. That's what I was going to say.
He missed some games too, which is kind of crazy,
yeah. But not a ton.
Right. No. And, hey, and no, Julius, good, I mean, good, they're 34 and 27. Randall, it's insane. Like, the Knicks need to have somebody represented in an All-NBA team. Julius should be first. I just think the numbers speak for themselves.
I cannot get on board with
itself.
Julius Randle first team All-NBA,
why?
Man. I just can't do it.
Who would you put over him?
Man, 24 points a game.
Because the gap between him and the and the actual best players in the league is so huge. And I came on here ready to hype up Julius Randle. I have been so excited by the Knicks, by Julius Randle, by his transformation, the threes. Like he's been an awful three-point shooter through his career. He's been great this year. He's shooting off the dribble threes. He's been a horrible passer to this point in his career. Now he's averaging 6 assists, double his previous career high.
He used to never
pass. I wanted to hype him up. I cannot get on board no matter how many games other guys have missed. I just feel like this season's so weird. Voters are going to have to adapt and not put Julius Randle
what?
On you, first.
No, you got to play the games, man. You this is not a video game. This is not done on paper.
But the gap between him and the actual best players is
care.
So huge.
The season he's had, he's been one of the, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 best players in the league this season. So 24 a game, 10 rebounds, so 6 here's assists, the thing. Shooting, I mean, almost 42% from 3 and playing defense. Good defense. I mean,
Dave,
I get it.
Does he get bumped for Giannis, though?
No, I think
him
and
Giannis will both make it.
I think it's those two guys are on the first.
So those two are locked.
Unless there's some funny business and they make Luka a forward, right?
Right.
Because he might be a guard forward on their, like, I don't, this is also.
Yeah,
this
he's
is
like also, considered a three, kind of, like, oddly. Which, a three that handles the rock.
I also think, like, we should just get rid of positions in all
positions
NBA.
For all NBA. Yeah.
If we have 5 guards who are all NBA first team, then we have 5 guards. If we have 5 centers, and we have 5 centers. And that, and like,
yeah,
I just
should
think
be the
that
best
that's
5
ridiculous.
Players.
But Julius Randle's in my top 5 for MVP balloting right now, so he'd make it anyway for me.
That's
right?
A good call. I like that. I'm actually surprised it took this long for people to start saying that. It was like Trey earlier this week talking about Chris Paul. We've been talking about the Suns all year. And nobody's saying, well, you know, Chris Paul, maybe we should be talking about him as MVP, especially because the season's so weird. So I think you give guys like Julius Randle a lot of credit for putting these numbers up. And also, he's played 60 games. I mean, the guy just doesn't miss games, and he's anchoring that defense. I mean, I'm with you. That's a great call. Top 5 for sure.
I don't know what I'm
Jay's just having Boston
here.
Bias.
Well, Jay has come out against yard work and against Julius Randle today.
Yard work does suck.
I want to fight him. No, yard work's amazing. Yard work is cathartic. You're out in the sun. You get a good workout out of it.
Do you own a yard?
You get to fix something. No, but
what are you doing that you get a good workout out of yard work?
I'll come do your yard work. I love your. Well, awesome. Let's make sure it's not the Texas summer.
Oh, okay.
Because that I don't want to do.
I think they have summer here.
Texas spring and fall, I'm in. I love yard work. It's a just a night like you never like laid bricks
truly
before.
Your wildest take
to, like,
ever, man.
Till
like,
the soil.
Oh no,
come
no,
on, that, Jay. That you kidding me?
Some of you guys have never had to shovel snow.
That, right. Yeah,
that counts
right.
As
well,
yard
I don't know
work.
Why you would. I don't know why you would live in a place where you shovel snow. I've lived in 2 places where you'd have to shovel snow, and I made sure I lived in apartment buildings where they did it for you. I'm not shoveling snow.
Well,
you kidding me?
Well, you're a smart man. Yeah.
I can't believe there's a human in this world who loves
yard
work. Oh,
my God. It's so therapeutic. Kidding me?
I've purposely never lived in a house for that reason alone. Like, that's literally number one on the list of why James has lived in, like, condos and apartments and not houses, because his lazy ass is not doing yard work.
This is how I know it's official, is you referred to yourself in the third person there.
That's right.
That's how I know you're not bullshitting us on that one.
Yeah, I'm with Jay. I'm not with Jay on Julius Randle. I'm with Jay on the yard work take.
Jay, all right, hold on. We have, I think, 16 missed games from both Kawhi and Paul George. They've both played the same amount of games. LeBron hasn't played since, like,
it's like
December.
2 months now, right?
I think LeBron's last game was Christmas.
He played in January, but...
He's been gone forever. AD just came back. He missed a grip of time.
And wasn't all that great before.
I guess my bigger beef is with the positions.
Okay.
And like are a whole bunch of guards and wings, and you can put James Harden on there, even though he's missed a lot of time lately and will miss more time. Like, he was spectacular. He was
for sure
maybe the very best player in the league when he was playing. And I just think this year is so bizarre because not only are guys missing time with injuries or COVID cases or whatever, but it's also the schedule is so compressed that when you miss a couple weeks, you've missed like 9 games, 10 games. So the games just add up. And I don't know. It's hard for me to, in this year, punish guys for not playing all 72 games or close to 72 games when literally everybody but Julius Randle is missing
time. But you're talking about guys that are going to miss a quarter of the season. Like, a quarter of the season, so much, even in this season.
And you still are playing the games. So you're just taking it away. I mean, people are still playing. Julius Randle is one of those guys.
And he's balling. It's not like he's like fringe. He's like balling.
Yeah.
Yo, he's played great. They've played great. I really came on this podcast wanting to just hype up Julius Randle and hype up the Knicks.
You've done nothing but the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm just
it's really lethargic right now. Your energy is down.
Julius Randle first.
At least say something nice about the Knicks. Go ahead.
Bring back Tibbs.
Tibbs has been incredible. That team has been incredible. Their defense is special. Like, Jay,
how's Elfrid Payton?
They're either super long or super strong.
How would Tom Thibodeau talk about Julius Randle as all NBA first team?
King, you motherfucker! You think he's not first team?
A little DMX there, actually.
Damn. Yeah, I lost it, man. I had the Tibbs impression for like 2 minutes of my life. Yeah.
What a magical 2 minutes.
This motherfucker thinks Julius Randle's not first team. He wants to reward guys who've been out of the lineup all season. Bitch ass Jay King.
Get John Krasinski in here.
I'm so dumb as when you said King, I thought you were just doing the internet speak of like you dropped this King. I didn't realize you were addressing yourself.
Oh no.
What's
no.
up, beloved? King.
Wow.
My beloved King.
Speaking of those Knicks, 9 in a row. I don't think they play today, so I think we can say nine.
Yeah,
in
we
a
can
row.
Say nine. Nine in a row.
Yeah, 9 in a row. They're the 4 seed. They look like they might end up facing the Hawks maybe in the first round with that 4-5 matchup. We still got some jostling to do there with the Eastern Conference. Maybe the Celtics could catch them, but the Celtics really shit themselves against the Hornets on Sunday in just a bad way. What happened there, Jay? Is it just the early Sunday game they struggle with?
I don't know, man. That was just an ass whooping. The Hornets are the type of team, if you don't bring it, they'll just outwork you and play way harder. And they play at a pace that it's tough to match in the first place. And if you just don't bring it, they'll whoop your ass. And they whooped the Celtics.
They really did.
Beat the Hornets since Jay hated on LaMelo.
Hey, yo, Tatum looked like he didn't even want to be there.
We got to find that out.
That's a good question.
We can give Miles Bridges the first team spot over Randle. We can all agree on that, right?
Oh, yeah. Hey,
shout out to Miles Bridges.
Zach, I have a crazy stat for the Knicks. And so I know they're like a fun story and we're going to talk about like the fun stuff. But this is like, I don't know. This is, let us slander them first, right?
You're slandering the Knicks now?
Not the Knicks, a Nick. During this run, okay, with Elfrid Payton on the court, only one player has a positive plus minus, and that's Nerlens Noel at positive 0.8. When he's off the court, every single player on the team has a positive plus minus. They are only losing his minutes. It is a wild stretch. I don't understand why he's still playing at all. Can you guys figure it out?
There's really no need. No.
Is it just like I need to create a sense of urgency for my guys? So we're going to start Elfrid Payton.
Yeah, so we're going to stink? No.
It will stink a little bit. And then we'll bring in D-Rose. He gets to be the hero. We bring Emmanuel quickly. He gets to be the young buck who comes in and saves the day. You know, maybe it's like maybe Tibbs has learned not like about 3-point shooting being a big thing or, you know, minutes being down or anything when his time off. Maybe his time off away between the Bulls and the Wolves job and then the Wolves and the Knicks job has just been about creating narrative.
He's like, you know, we have our best players on the court. You know, we're plus 20 on the season, but we just never have our best players on the court because Elfrid Payton's out there.
Trey, what do you think the Elfrid Payton thing is right now? Because he does seem to be like the one, as Dave said, like the one negative for this Knicks team, because everything else looks like it's clicking.
I don't even think he's negative, dude. Because, no, like, that's the crazy thing about it. I think it's like love hate. He's one of those guys that I think one of the other nights he had like 20 points and then had like a great defensive, you know, stop. But then like Knicks fans hate him, and you know, but he helps. Like, that's the thing. He has like some bright spots where you'll say like maybe two nice things about him the entire game, and then you like want him off your team by the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. And I think it works, man. Like, if anybody else is in that position, it doesn't, you know, because like their guards are just kind of interchangeable and plug and play.
Yeah.
And like you see, like Derrick Rose is not like asked to do a million things. And then you got Quickly and you got, you know what I mean? Like just different guards that come in and do things. And I think Peyton sometimes, like obviously he's not the ideal starter. He doesn't have a sexy name, but for Tibbs, cool. Cause he plays defense sometimes at times. You know what I'm saying? Like he did a good job on Schroeder when they played the Lakers, right?
Yeah, he did. And he did give it to him a little bit. I'm with you.
But
on
that's the thing. Like here and there, it's not consistent.
Yeah.
But you gotta give it to him because, like, again, this Knicks team is like no other Knicks team. Like normally in the past, they at least had one guy, and Julius Randle is coming along. But like, as they say, you know, do it in the playoffs and then do it again. Like he's gonna have to have another season to get like that respect. You know what I'm saying? Like this is just kind of like a Cinderella story right now. It's the Big 15. Like Reggie Bullock's like hitting crazy shots. You know, guys are saying
Reggie's
like,
been amazing, but I can't.
No, but here's the thing.
I can't get
all Knicks fans are like,
Reggie's good.
You know what? We would even be better if we had Alec Burks here. You know what I mean? Like making those guys type like at the top. Like, you know what I mean? That's like really.
What do they think? They're Lakers?
They all just like playing.
I also want to call it back to our discussion of the Derrick Rose trade at the time that happened. We were all pretty much against it.
Well, we were worried it was going to take minutes from Quickly.
Yes.
But he's really helped their offense. He gives them a different look where he can get into the paint and create plays. And he's like, he's become a much better decision maker over the years than he was even when he was winning MVP and stuff like that. And he's just really matured, and he's brought a different type of energy to that offense. Their offense during this winning streak is the very best in the league over that stretch. And that is a far cry from where they've been most of the season. And some of that is probably unsustainable play from first team All-NBA or Julius Randle, who's been ridiculous. But
it sounded so insincere.
Some of it too. I get a bad rep, but just because I take
only because of
I don't
the things
think he
you
should
say,
be first
Jay.
Team all
it's only because of the things you say.
No. Jay gets a bad rep because he's willing to stick his neck out if he disagrees. I respect that, right? But it doesn't mean it. You know, when that nail is sitting there, we're not going to hammer it.
Well, I want to clarify the reason we were not against the Derrick Rose trade, but like questioning it, is because we worried that Quickly was going to get odd man down.
Right.
I think we were all pretty much said like, hey, as long as it takes from Elfrid Payton's minutes and not Quickly's minutes, like, yeah, you just plug Rose in there and they're better because they do need that guy who can get into the middle of the floor and make decisions or be a threat. And Elfrid hasn't really been that. But to Tibbs' credit, something I didn't really expect him to do, the majority of Derrick Rose minutes this season as a Knick have come next to Quickly. Mm-hmm. So he's playing more two guard or 2 point guard lineups, which I didn't expect him to do.
Yeah. And I think we also underrated how good the Knicks could be. Like if you told me they were going to make a charge for the 4 seed and Derrick Rose is going to play a pretty key part in that, then I would have reacted very differently to that trade. Like, who cares if Emmanuel Quickly is playing a couple fewer minutes if they have a legitimate chance to have home court advantage in the first round?
Sure.
You know, that changes the tenor of the conversation a bit. And I think we all underrated what this Knicks team could do.
And Quickly and Rose together are crushing. Absolutely crushing. And this run in particular, I mean, they've just been it's the perfect amount of dynamism when Randall's not out there. but then they operate well with him. It's a good mix. And this trade, like, again, I think we were all right to worry about it. But I've been pleasantly surprised by Tom Thibodeau all year. I think this is another instance of it.
Yeah, I have concerns about what the offense looks like in a 7-game series. Yeah, because I don't think that I think that offense is very easy to game plan for. Now maybe they get by defensively, right? And if they face Atlanta in the first round, I'll take the Knicks. If they face Boston in the first round, I think I still take the Knicks if they have home court advantage. Anyone outside, if Miami moves up, we know I'm taking Miami, so that's not going to be a thing. But the Knicks, like, they are in a pretty good position right now to not just get home court in the first round, but to make it to the second round. That's my concern. But also, my concern going into the season was not, God, I hope this offense can, you know, hold up in a 7-game playoff series. It was,
right. My
concern was like, I just hope RJ Barrett's good. That's all I want awesome. For the Knicks this year.
Right. Like, so yeah, that's another great. Thing flying it's under good. The radar is how good RJ Barrett is looking. And all of a sudden, man, you start looking at the Knicks' future. It's like, crap, they have so much found money on their roster because for some reason, people were already writing off even RJ Barrett. They're like, oh, we know who this guy is. And clearly, I mean, he's a much better player than people thought. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy how this worked out. Barrett. But we need to adjust, though, I think for this season, especially in the East, we need to adjust our expectations on the quality of a 4 seed. Because this is not a typical
for sure.
4 seed yeah. strength team.
You're yeah. right. They're a juggernaut.
yeah. Like, this is much more like the 8 seed Orlando Magic that we're used to.
Oh, hold on. I think I thought those teams were dog shit. So I'm not going to say that, but I'll meet you in the
you
middle.
You get what I'm saying.
I'm not going
to. This is more a team that should be in a normal year.
See?
Fighting to get in 6, 7, 8, not home court.
I see them similar to
their Indiana.
Yeah, I see them similar to the Pacers of the last couple of years.
I'm into that.
Where I like that. Their defense is very good and physical, and they play just kind of a bruising style of basketball, and they probably don't have enough offensive creativity to get it done in the postseason. Like, that's fine. Like, this story is so ridiculous. They have a crew of cast-offs. They have Tom Thibodeau,
who's a cast-off.
Kind of.
Yeah. He's a cast-off, too. But when he was first hired, I think
the Wolves said you have to leave. That's how bad it got.
When he was first hired, I thought, man, Tibbs isn't going to like having to be patient with this roster and having to have some serious losing seasons. And it's like, nah, now they're the 4th seed. They're in line to get home court advantage. Right, it's ridiculous. Like, they're playing so well. And Randall has really transformed, and Barrett, like Dave said, has shown that maybe we shouldn't write off top 5 picks after one average rookie season.
Hey, don't look at me. I voted him all rookie first team. Official ballot.
Ooh.
Don't look at me. Not my fault. Blame those other voters.
I don't know if you're serious about
hashtag
it.
Hashtag not my vote.
Hashtag not my vote, exactly.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
We had the return of Anthony Davis this week. Kevin Durant is back today. We're recording this during the Nets Suns game. So KD is back from the thigh contusion. AD is back from the Achilles tendon tendinosis. That's what it was. The Achilles tendinosis. AD looked rough in the first game. Looked better in the second game. Minutes restriction is a little higher than the first game. So we're seeing that. But Trey, I look at this and I don't think the Lakers are concerned with their seeding, although after the last two games against Dallas, they're now only a game and a half ahead of Dallas for the five seed. But it does, Trey, it feels a little bit like the Lakers are treating this week as just like, all right, it's practice, but, you know, they're real games.
Hey, it must be nice. Right. It's a good luxury to just kind of cruise and say, you know what, we're just going to work Anthony in and get the reps. Like, again, everybody's not able, and, you know, obviously they still have number 23 on their team, and obviously AD's missed like 30 some games, bro. So it's gonna be a, I don't say it'll be a minute, I think another game or two before he kind of, you know, fits back in and does what he does. But still a lot, you know what I mean? And then also getting LeBron, AD, and Drummond to play together, like, that's something that just doesn't just come like easy, especially in valuable games. So I don't think they really worry about seeding. They could be eighth seed and kind of still, and that would actually work in their favor, honestly. But
go after Utah.
Always good to be where they are. And like I said, even if they drop any games, it's not even going to be like a huge ordeal. I think that second round matchup is going to be everything for them and who, you know, who it may be.
James, do we think that are we locked into this Lakers Nuggets 4-5? Because I know Dallas is a game and a half back, but I kind of feel like, I mean, LeBron should be back next week, I think. So we're about to be at full strength with the Lakers. I feel like we're gonna be locked into a 4-5 matchup with Nuggets Lakers, and I kind of feel bad for Denver.
I think the Lakers need to make sure that they're locked into a 4-5 with Denver, because if they slide to that sixth seed and play the Clippers in the first round, then things get interesting. I don't know. It's they have a lot to figure out. Kind of like what Trey was saying. Yes, LeBron comes back and that fixes a lot of things, but I do think they're going to spend some time trying to figure out how to work Andre, AD, and LeBron together. And I don't know that it's going to work. I would put my money on no, that when they get in the playoffs, Andre is going to be sitting when it matters. But I do think they experiment for the final couple weeks just to see if there's anything there whatsoever with those two in the front court. And then obviously LeBron handling things as he does. But I mean, Dallas has an easy schedule to end the year. I don't know exactly the Lakers
schedule. Yeah.
It's ridiculously easy. They don't have to worry about sliding to seven. Portland's in a little bit of a scary place right now, and it's the wrong time to be there.
Yeah, but Dallas doesn't have to complain about the play-in tournament anymore. They're good. They're clear, so they can like it again.
Yeah, no, they're good. But the Lakers, I do think that they need to at least consider not trying to make sure things are right for the playoffs and going to get some wins to end the year, because it could get dicey in terms of Dallas getting them. Because I could see Dallas building on this three-game winning streak, like, not like a Knicks run. I don't expect nine. I don't think Dallas is that good, but I could definitely see them putting together six wins, five wins. And then maybe out of their last 10, they're 8-2 or something like that. But the Lakers do need to at least put some stock in these final weeks of the regular season, because if they match up with the Clippers, they could be in some trouble.
Well, they want to be
the
4-5.
I don't think that they fear them.
Right. Like, any, if they drop to six, that's trouble, because that's going to be the Clippers. I mean, maybe it's the Suns, maybe it's the Jazz somehow. I doubt it, but you know, they want to do that. I mean, you know, I'm already thinking about the other end. Should the Jazz start thinking about, all right, how do we avoid the Lakers? Do we want to drop?
You got to drop some games,
right?
Let the, you know, Suns, like, get the one seed.
Because like, look, that, man, like, you guys know this. Look, if LeBron and AD are healthy, that's probably the favorite to win the title.
Right.
It's just that it's such a question mark for us right now that none of us can go out on a limb. But I'll tell you, I mean, if they're healthy, I think they're probably going to win the title, and nobody will want to play them. It's going to be interesting to see what happens as AD kind of gets into shape and then LeBron comes back. I want to see where LeBron is with his conditioning. Is he ready to go and actually just play like he's, you know, hasn't missed any time? Or is it going to be one of these things where that first round they have to play the Nuggets because he needs a tune-up round?
Yeah, and I don't think the Lakers sweat anybody except the Clippers. I don't think they have any ounce of fear in playing any of these teams except the Clippers.
Especially now that Jamal Murray's out.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, now that Murray's out, right.
And Will Barton might be out for a while.
I sense no fear from none of that. I don't see no boot shaking in that situation. Not even the Clippers, bro. Like,
really? I'm with Trey on this because I think
after the bubble thing, bro, like, it was kind of like, you know what I mean? Because they were respecting them until that happened.
Yeah. I'm with Trey on that. I think the only way we may see them be like, ooh, I don't really want to play the Clippers right now is if things aren't clicking. Like, if they haven't had enough time to get guys in condition, clicking and everything right before the playoffs, then they may be like, ooh, I don't know if this is the first team we want to play as we try to get into this playoff mode. You know, that I could see a little trepidation with that. But I think, at least from stuff I've heard after the bubble, like, I don't think they take the Clippers as seriously as, I'm not going to say they don't take them seriously, but as seriously as they did a year ago, for sure.
I get that. And
a lot of the best teams in the league still have some things to figure out about themselves. Like, we talk about the Lakers. LeBron has missed a whole lot of time. AD has missed a whole lot of time. They're trying to incorporate Drummond. The rest of the roster has changed pretty drastically from last season. When they had, you know, Rondo and those guys playing big minutes. So I think they could use, like you guys said, a round against the Nuggets, which is bad, man. Like, Jokic is probably the MVP. We're talking about them like their dog food.
I don't even mean that it'd be easy. I just think that it's a better matchup.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. And then the Nets on the other side.
Easy too.
The Nets on the other side, like, they've got five games they've played with Kyrie and Harden and KD all together.
Seven.
And so the amount that those guys still need to learn about playing with each other is huge. And I think it's a good fit. Offensively, it's an incredible fit. But, like, it's one thing when there's only two of those guys out there. But when there's three, that's when, you know, you're sacrificing some touches and you're sacrificing some shot opportunities. And they're going to have to be learning to figure all of that out on the fly in the playoffs, basically, because Harden could miss at least close to the rest of the regular season. I just think this is a weird year where the best teams don't know too much about each other at this point in the season.
Yeah, they haven't seen them at full strength. I mean, you know, we got the Suns and the Nets playing right now, and Harden's missed 10 straight games. Not to jump back on that first topic, Zach, but I had some time to think while we were just, you know, just chatting. And I think my first team all MVP, I mean, first team all NBA would be Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, Bradley Beal, and Dame. Randall's second team.
Yeah, but you can't, I mean, if we just got rid of positions.
I don't think they're, I think they just go front court. I don't think they do.
No, they do. I'm pretty sure they do center. Let me see how
they do center.
Yeah, I think
still.
They still center, do center.
Center
so one thing
still so centers
recognize
on there?
A center, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. That's the crazy thing, right? Embiid
is
Embiid locked
into
second team.
Second, which is okay. And then Rudy Gobert third.
Right. Gobert third, okay. Bam doesn't even get to make it.
That's crazy.
You're not going to put Steph on there, Trey?
For first?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not
going to
make
Dame's
a Steph
playing,
point after last
Dame's
week.
Dame's not playing well since he's been back from his injury. But Steph has pushed, I mean, because he's MVP candidate, so I might have to swap that out. You're right.
I would Steph over Brad
I was
going to
say, there's just too much Steph slander for me on this podcast.
No, it's not. That's not slander, though. I'm not, not calling him trash.
I'm saying there's
slander
to the point where
you have to say
he's...
I'm just saying all of a sudden we swallowed a magic pill, and all of a sudden, like, they're... allegedly just they win one game and go up to fourth or fifth. Like, they're still looking in.
In my crazy mind, I'm saying anything that's saying Steph's not the greatest player on planet Earth right now is slander.
Ooh.
I agree with that. And we did this last week, and I conceded to you guys were right. I was being the guy that's like, I don't care that the rest of Steph's team stinks and their record stinks. You're right. But, like,
yeah, stop backing down from a brawl, Edward.
I think so.
Clearly,
I think
someone hasn't been watching Tyler Johnson
and that's
today.
The hashtag other Edwards.
Not my Edwards.
like Steph, I just want to, Steph's MVP, man.
What?
He's not, but he is. He's not, but he is.
He's the hood's MVP.
Wow.
Nah, but honestly, though.
He's definitely first
honestly,
team.
Honestly, though, I think Steph, I think you're right, James. You won me over. I think Steph gets first team.
Yeah, I'd put Steph over. I think my backcourt right now would be Steph and CP3. But yeah.
Does Russ make all NBA?
I don't know because
he hooping.
He is
hooping, Zach.
He is, but like he also hooping. Wasn't for a good chunk of the season too, right? Like
I got people screaming at me talking about LeBron gonna be first team.
I don't
team.
That's ridiculous.
He missed like 19 games.
Yeah, LeBron's missed so much time. But like
if LeBron missed 19 games.
Think about the guards though, right? Trey, think about the guards for first team or for all NBA. You get six guards. And here are the guys we got. We got Steph. We got Booker. We got CP3. We got Dame. We got Donovan Mitchell. We got Luka. Anybody crack that six?
That's crazy, yo.
Yeah.
That's
and we so haven't even crazy. Talked. And again, like Kyrie missed time. Harden missed time. Those guys would both be
I got Kyrie. I don't know. Kyrie made it for me.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. Like he's definitely like on the border for me. But the time missed is end up gonna be like the great equalizer.
Hey,
despite
Jay
King
regardless.
Thinking that no one should, you know, be penalized for missing games.
I mean, tomorrow, are we gonna do this slander for sure? Is that how you wanna do it, Jay? Or is Paul Reed gonna win
100 possessions?
Played enough? Romeo Langford. As long as it's Romeo Langford, you're fine, right?
Trey.
Paul Reed is a G League legend, though.
Shout out to Paul Reed. Trey, who do you have? I'm genuinely asking, who would you take off of that list Zach just named for Kyrie?
Damn, yo.
Would it be Russ? Did you say Russ?
I didn't even say Russ.
He had Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan.
That's he's missed he some time, so maybe that takes him off. Yeah.
Oh.
Book's the one in my mind.
First
I
in the East,
though,
bro. Like,
right? I know. No, he's right.
Cracking. Hey, you're right. He having probably one of his highest points per game seasons of his career, bro. Like, I can't ignore Kyrie, bro. The stuff he's doing this year.
No, he's been unbelievable. But also, like, we're looking at, you know, he's missed about a quarter of the season. He's missed 16 games so far. And that's just
a lot
of games.
I mean, it's going to be a lot of guys on there that miss 15
well,
plus.
I know.
Be
on mine, I know.
Because I think I'm going to pick the guys that played.
I know. That's the thing. We're going to take the guys who didn't make All-NBA, and I'll take that squad against any of these All-NBA teams.
Hey, right? Hey, I hate bullying Utah, but Donovan Mitchell off mine. Hey, my bad, Spider, bro. It's been rough, but man, you out of here, cat.
Oh my god! All right,
give Clint Capella Gobert's All NBA spot while you're at it. Shout out to Clint Capella.
All right, I do have to warn everybody that the power rankings come out on Monday, the same day you're listening to this, and we've discovered a curse of the power rankings, guys. The last 3 weeks, the number one team. So. 3 weeks ago, Utah Jazz, number one team. Monday night, lose to Dallas. Denver Nuggets, next week, number one team. Tuesday night, their first game. Not only do they lose to the Warriors, Jamal Murray blows out his knee. This past week, Philadelphia 76ers,
this is getting dark, man.
Number one team. They lost every game this week. And Ben Simmons hasn't played. Joel Embiid's missing time. Like, it's getting bad. And so, preview for you guys. Because this will be out by the time people listen to this, I think. The Clippers are number one in the power rankings right now.
Oh, no.
And I'm fearful of what that means for the Clippers.
This is too much power for Zach Harper to have, for sure.
But I'm wielding it in the wrong way. Like, I don't even know how. I'm not even trying to wield this.
It's like the Madden Madden curse, right? Like,
right?
Every single week.
Yeah.
Man.
It's become that. It used to be a good thing. It used to be just like, oh, if I named you 30th, you were going to win your first game of that week. Like, yeah. It was like a good thing. It was a good curse. But now it's bad. It's real bad.
We're going to get teams tanking. We just talked about it. They're going to be tanking to try to get into the playoffs anyway. But it's going to be a double reverse jinx because they're actually tanking to try to beat your curse. But they're going to double curse themselves. It's going to be awful.
I know.
The Utah Jazz setting themselves up to be a first round out, by the way. I know that you're sitting there.
Whoa.
Not really. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm just saying. I know that you're sitting there rewriting. You just said it. No, I'm saying, like, when we look at this weird playoff that we're about to go into and some of the unpredictability, I imagine that you're trying to curse the Jazz anyway, which is probably why you kept them up as the number one team in your power rankings. I'm here as the top Jazz respecter on the show here, trying to defend the Jazz. And
I lost all respect for them once they started bitching about small market bias with referees. Then I was in on the Jazz before that, and as soon as that happened, I'm out. I am out.
So why don't you want the Clippers to win this week? That's the question.
Well, I'm worried like Kawhi's going to retire. Like it's gonna lead to that, right? At least he's gonna, you know what? I'm good. I made a bunch of money. I don't want to do this anymore. Like that's what I'm worried about.
Or Reggie Jackson's gonna play like Reggie Jackson again.
Oh yeah, Reggie Jackson's gonna be a full time starter playing him 40 minutes a game. Do we think the Jazz aren't gonna lose in the first round, right?
No. But I love to make the joke, but just because you can see it, right? Like Jazz fans in particular are very, very sensitive about this season.
Oh, my God. When did they become Rockets fans?
I just feel like, you know, they've been so close before. And this team is really good. And this is a great season that they're having. And when you look at all the measurables, it all stacks up as a great season. Like, this is a team.
It's through the roof.
Statistically, this is like a finals team. That's how they're performing. And I feel like they're just nervous about it, man. And if they see Steph Curry somehow, like, in the first round, I don't know,
man. That's the team, yeah.
I'd be sweating bullets.
Well, Portland might fall to 8, right?
I'd be way more worried about Steph Curry. I mean, James Edwards just said it.
Greatest player on earth.
That's right. I wouldn't want to face that in the playoffs.
I don't know, man. I just saw Kyrie Irving abuse Chris Paul today just using his left exclusively. I don't know. Today it's Kyrie Irving. He's been nuts in this game.
Listen, put some respect on Ramadan Kai, right, bro. Ramadan Kai.
He's been
Ramadan Kai out here doing it off no food and water. Cracking.
It's the opposite of how Amin El Hassan's been doing radio with me. Let me tell you. The exact opposite. For the play-in tournament, we do have Portland has fallen into that seven seed. Memphis might pass them pretty soon because if they beat them today, well, by the time you listen to this, it's already happened or hasn't happened. But Memphis is closing in for the seven seed. And so I don't think Portland or Memphis truly have to be worried about San Antonio. Maybe I'm just underselling San Antonio. I'm telling you, Pelicans are out. They're not making the play-in tournament.
Oh, yeah.
This team is donezo. Yeah, this team is, oh, my God.
Well, they play the Clippers next, and if your curse is...
Oh, shit.
It's true.
Okay, maybe the Pelicans are out. I'll wait till after Monday night to see if the Pelicans are out. The
Clippers are going to move to Seattle this week, and that's how the curse is going to play out.
So are the Warriors the biggest... Are the Warriors the biggest threat in all of this, even if we include Portland and Memphis? Or is Steph the biggest threat?
Yeah, because Steph's by far the best player, I think. You know, Dame is certainly in the same tier, but I mean, you know, Steph Curry is on that other level right now. So
Steph is also could be a really tough cover for Utah in particular.
I was going
to
say that,
because if they move Draymond to center, then Rudy's going to have to do a whole lot of guarding at the arc, and that's going to be tough. It's out of his comfort zone. Let's be honest.
They are tanking because they just lost to Minnesota for no reason.
I don't know if Rudy's got to guard Draymond Green anywhere outside of like 8 feet.
No, but isn't the worry?
But I'm saying he's going to be screening for Steph, so he better be guarding.
The they're going to blitz, but yeah, I think Utah can handle it. That would be a fun series for me to watch this season because you'll actually see whether that Utah defense really is as robust this year as it appears to be.
Right. Right. I think the same would happen against Portland. Right. The difference is Portland can't guard anybody.
Right. So right. That's the thing. The Warriors actually can defend a little bit. So you can see at least a more realistic version of what it looks like against a real team. But the Steph Curry factor is just, you know, that, I don't know. Yeah. I'm rooting for that just because I want to see it happen. And that would be probably my favorite basketball story of this year, if somehow the Warriors were to, you know, be the play-in team and win an 8-1 matchup. It would be insane.
Trey, I mean this seriously, you brought him up earlier. Does Russ have the Wizards as like the biggest threat to the play-in tournament in the East? Because they are balling right now.
Oh, hell yeah. they're like the Eastern Conference version of the Warriors. You don't want to see a hungry Russ, bro. Like, when he thriving, and like, that's the thing. If Bradley Beal kicked that up to another notch,
yeah.
Oh God. Oh God. Like, you don't want to see that. So whoever in seven, God bless. Just God bless. Just listen, if they continue to be playing like how they doing, God bless. Russ is gonna be playing 130 miles per hour, bro.
If Russ and Bradley Beal knock the Celtics out of this playing tournament,
I could see that happening.
Yo.
I want to see playoff Jaylen Brown and playoff Jason Tatum. But if they keep the, like, today, Tatum didn't even look like he wanted to hoop today. Like,
yeah,
I don't
what
know
was
what,
that? He did.
I don't
he
know looked, what's going on. Yeah. Like I said, I know everybody deals with personal stuff, and today just might not have been the one. But if he come with that type of energy against, like, a Wizards that had to do a play-in, oh, my God. Jay King gonna be trying to do all NBA. Because the C's, he won't be covering the C's.
Hey, man.
I know that.
Look, Miami is not that far out from being the sixth seed and facing Milwaukee in the first round. We may be going through this again, no. Jay. We may be going through this again.
I want to give Charlotte love. I'm still on the Charlotte train. LaMelo might be back soon. He's supposed to be back soon.
That team, I hope, wins the play-in tournament and gets either the 7 or the 8. Like, I want to see more of that team, especially LaMelo, right? LaMelo's almost back. Like, I definitely want to see that team.
They're fun,
and
man.
And I'm biased. I know Flint. Shout out Miles. The way that Parego's using him, I love the way Miles has transformed his game. And I just they just have a little bit more versatility this year. They're a little more unpredictable. I think that's another team somebody doesn't want to see just because of the youthful energy. They have, like I said, they have some stuff that they can do that they can throw at you, different lineups. LaMelo coming back. I can't wait. I hope the Hornets make it.
You know,
I would like to see
them. Here's
the thing,
though, with Charlotte.
They make you guard everyone.
I'll say this.
Yeah, make you guard everyone.
They're tough, they're athletic, and they're fast. But they are similar to Portland in that they've had a lot of end-of-game luck. So they have been an extreme outlier.
It's a good point.
Winning close games. And so I think when we look at the record, there's a little bit of fool's gold there. They're not an awful basketball
team. But they've also had some bad injury luck, too.
Absolutely. But they're not an awful team by any stretch of the imagination. But I don't think – like, the play-in is about where they ought to be, I think. When they were floating around the 4 seed, that was playing way up over their head. I think that where they're at now suits them a little bit more. But I don't really think that they're dangerous against, you know, if they play the Heat, for instance. They just don't have the experience.
I don't know if I've done this publicly. I have to completely, like, do a 180 and apologize for shitting on the Terry Rozier signing a couple years ago. Because he has proved me dead wrong. He wasn't that good last year.
Yeah.
But this year, that dude is balling. Like, he's at a point now where they say he hasn't hit 100% of his threes, but I've only seen him make every single three-point attempt this season.
I
don't understand it.
He's a testament to, you know, to the learning curve for every player being so wildly different. You know, I know we keep bringing up Devontae Graham and how he went from not an NBA player to, ooh, all right, this guy might make some money. And Terry Rozier is kind of one of those guys that went from, man, he's got some moments, but can you pay him this much money?
Right.
Wow, this is a steal. He's been awesome.
I wouldn't mind if Devontae went back to, ooh, this guy might make some money.
Oh, yeah.
He's shooting 37% this year.
Yeah.
I keep waiting for him to make shots.
And I think Terry's he's another example, too, of how much situation plays into
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Like, his whole career has just been about fluctuating situations. Like, Kyrie goes out, he becomes a starter in the playoffs and plays really well. Kyrie comes back, he's probably a little disgruntled, moves to the bench in a contract year. The Celtics had all sorts of issues that year. He struggles. And then moves to Charlotte, they empower him. But Devontae Graham comes out of nowhere and kind of takes some of the touches and some of the shine. And then a year later, you know, Terry just keeps working at it. And now he's having by far the most efficient season of his career.
The energy there is much more like the Celtics teams with Kyrie when Kyrie was out. The energy that they've got in Charlotte, right? The ball doesn't stick, and that stuff really matters a lot. And you can see, like, Rozier's – you can see it in Boston. His attitude changed depending on what the ball was doing. And Charlotte doesn't let the ball rest. I think aren't they leading the league in passes or something like that? I mean, I know they're passing a lot.
I think they're second in assist percentage or something like that. They're moving the ball.
Yeah, crazy. And so I feel like that helps him get into rhythm. And things have just kind of fallen into place where now he's also got LaMelo Ball, who is a guy who, you know, he's going to find you. If you're open, the ball is going to find you when LaMelo's on the court. And so this is a lot of right place, right time, right player. Like Terry Rozier, I think, has kind of been this guy, and he certainly is more under control this season in particular. But the tools, and he always showed flashes, but the tools, I think, were there. This is who he was at his best.
And I love the way the Hornets put together their roster too. Like the league values 6-7 guys who can do a whole lot of things. And when you look at their roster, like how many of their guys are 6-7 versatile, can shoot, put it on the floor, do a little bit of everything.
Shout out to PJ Washington. Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. PJ Washington, like he's a 6-7, 6-8 center who's shooting a bunch of threes. Like that's tough to guard. It just really is. And he can hold up defensively. They're flying around defensively. They're flying around offensively. And so, you know, I think it goes to show that like they've had a vision there for the last few years of acquiring all these guys. You look at, you know, the Martins, like those are 6-7 skilled dudes who maybe weren't valued too high in the draft.
You better put some respect on them a little San bit. Diego State put legend Jalen McDaniels' name, okay?
Yeah,
Malik Monk too. Looking he's like been a player, lately. Right?
Yeah, Malik Monk's been good this year.
Yeah,
shout out to him.
Charlotte's fun,
shout out
man.
To Michael Jordan and his jeans. Michael Jordan in his jeans.
Hey! Don't talk about the Jinko Jaw, the Jinko God, man, on a Sunday.
The best shout out to Action Bronson. These dudes trash like Michael Jordan's jeans.
Oh my God,
that's a great line.
That's a great bar.
As is the rule on the Athletic NBA show, whenever Michael Jordan's jeans get mentioned, the show's over. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Basket Buds on the Athletic NBA Show podcast. Thanks to Trevon Edwards, Dave DeFore, Jay King, James Edwards III, Jade Hoy produced, and I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on the Athletic and subscribe to the Athletic. God damn it.